Acts chapter 9, please, if you would. Thank you, Mike. Let's see here. See if I can get these divided somewhat equally. Thank you, Isaac. All right, Acts chapter 5. Let's all stand. Acts chapter 9, excuse me. My mind was thinking of two different things at the same time. Acts chapter 9, please. There are three people with the name of Ananias in the book of, in the New Testament. They're all in the book of Acts. One of them is Ananias and Sapphira. That's in chapter 5. Those are different people. They're with the Lord or wherever they're at, okay? This is Ananias that is only mentioned twice in the New Testament. His name is mentioned more, but in two locations, Acts 9 and one reference in Acts 22. The third is Ananias, one of the high priests, which is part of the family of, this is a big old family. And by the way, sometimes you will read about high priest, plural. It's because that was a family. Caiaphas was the son-in-law. There were seven sons and a dad, and they were all related, and they ran the show for a long, long time. Different person. He's going to show up in Acts 24 or something later. So this is a very specific individual, Acts chapter 9 and verse 10. By the way, friends, tonight is sweet. Tonight is nice. Tonight, some of you will understand me for the first time in your adult life if you listen. I am not a deep person. Secondly, you will also, if you have ears to hear, learn something that can change many things good about your life. I wish I would have understood a couple of these ideas when I was young. I saw it modeled. I saw everything I'm going to teach modeled at Great Lakes with one of our first class, then he made chief, and he retired as a master chief of command here, Bill Lewandowski. I saw it modeled, but I didn't understand it. And my personality doesn't naturally come to this. So we're going to talk about Ananias. I saw it, Jenny, I also saw it modeled in Jay Wagner. You remember Jay and Susie. Jay Wagner was this in spades. I mean, he just had this. Verse 10. Paul, by the way, has been miraculously saved. He certainly wasn't seeking Jesus. He was seeking to kill people that follow Jesus. God intervened in his stupidity. He's been miraculously saved, but he's in kind of a no man's land. He can't see. It says in verse 10, and there was a certain disciple at Damascus. ESV drops the word certain. Don't know why, because it's in the Greek text, but it's just a certain man. It's not making a big deal of this guy, and his name was Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision. Now, by the way, folks, I don't have the ability to explain this, but in some way the Lord spoke to him, impressed him something. Now, you can go to a charismatic church and God speaks to everybody every second. That's really funny, but it doesn't work that way. But anyhow, God spoke to him in some way, moved him in some fashion. Ananias, and he said, behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, arise, go into the street, which is called Straight. I'm guessing because the street was like going to England and Scotland. By the way, England and Scotland, if you want to go shopping, you go to High Street. That's just what they're called. It's always High Street. Well, here it's the Straight Street. So arise and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas, for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prays, he prayeth. And he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might recover his sight. We learn a little bit more about this in Acts 22, not a lot, just a tad. Verse 13. Then Ananias answered, "Absolutely, Lord. When do I sign up?" No. He says, "You know, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to the saints at Jerusalem. For all of you that are interested, not in the sermon, that is the first reference in the New Testament to the most common word for you and I. Saints. That's it. The first reference. Hagioi. By the way, you need to know what a saint is. No, you don't become a saint after you die, after you perform three miracles and all that stuff. Everybody is a saint right up front. You say, what's a saint? I'm not very saintly. A saint is simply someone, the Hebrew word, Hebrew and Greek word, but the Greek word means of someone that is set aside unto the Lord. You're set aside to the Lord. And hopefully, holiness follows that in purity. All right, he says, Ananias answered the Lord and said, "I've heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to the saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name." Verse 15, "But the Lord said unto him, Ananias, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me." And my goodness, that's an understatement, wasn't it? Never a greater chosen vessel to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him, and this is an interesting, how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. That's probably not the introduction to ministry that we want. And Ananias went his way, and he just did what he was told, or what he was called to do. And he entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, "Brother Saul," I love that, "Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way, as thou camest, hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit." And immediately there fell from his eyes, as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized. Remember this morning, after salvation, you're only baptized as a believer. And when he had received meat or food, we just say food today, solid food, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. By the way, now we've called the same group of saints, disciples, same group. And straightway, or immediately, he preached Christ in the synagogue, that he was the Son of God. And all that heard him were amazed and said, "Is not this he that destroyed them which called upon the name in Jerusalem and came hither for that intent? That he might bring them bound also, or bound unto the chief priest?" But Saul increased the more in strength, and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Jerusalem, at Damascus, excuse me, proving that this is very Christ. He is the Messiah. Verse 24. And after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. But their laying await was known of Saul. Saul found out about it. And they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night, led him down by the wall in a basket. So that's the story. It's going to get picked up with Barnabas when we leave the story. I'm going to speak tonight. Now, friends, this is an absolute zero in your face sermon. But on one sense, for some of us, it'll be the hardest sermon you've ever heard. Because it's going to get at something that's very close to us. I'm not going to talk about anybody in this room because it's not about anybody. Some people get this by personality and nature. Some people struggle. But Ananias, the thing we want to focus on the first, you have heard everything you're going to hear about Ananias in one story. I call him the man of the hour and the man for the hour. We have nothing else about him. But how would you like to have been the guy that was the guy that brought Paul further along? The man of the hour, man for the hour. All right, I am going to speak about two guys in this room right at the beginning, though. So I not exactly true. So let's pray together. We'll start. Father, thank you. Bless our time, I ask, in Christ's name. Amen. I have in your notes, and I would prefer you to read with me at the top, I say, maybe we all have these people in our lives. Maybe. I have talked to many different people through the years, and I found out almost everybody has one or two of these kind of people. I say they're people who played a role in our life, maybe even a key role, but not a continuing role, which is interesting. By the way, Barnabas was with Paul a long time. Luke was with Paul most of his adult life. Ananias played one role, one time, at least that we have recorded in Scripture. Now, I'm going to talk about myself because I had one of those people. And I say in your notes, that'll be the end of my discussion, the little dot, dot, dot stuff. I believe we all have, at least I have them. And the person that I have is a very shadowy person. He is so shadowy that I am not sure where I met him. I met him either when I first arrived at Bethesda Naval Hospital to go to George Washington, or after I graduated and came here. It might have been early January of 78. I got here the second or third week of December of 77. Somewhere, it was either at Bethesda, I think it was here, right beside where the barracks used to be for, if you were a hospital corpsman, there was a little place you could work out on the hospital corps side. They had a swimming pool, they had weights and stuff, and I think it was here. I'm over there one night working out. I've done a little swimming. By the way, I could swim back in those days. The Navy taught me. So you say, what's your story? Here's the story. I'm working out, and there's a man, older, you know, old when you're 18 or, well, I was 21 or something. Seems to be 100, but he was probably a chief or more, talking to three or four younger guys. And I overheard them, and I knew they were talking about the Bible. So I just kind of listened in, because by this time I was living for the Lord, and I was trying to ascertain what they were talking about. And in the process of time, the older gentleman recognized I was listening. So he invited me to come over, and we talked. Now, friends, are you listening? One time, this is the man. I don't know his name. I don't know what he looks like. I'm not even sure if it was here or if it was at Bethesda at the same kind of a place, because you know you had a place to work out, swim, and stuff at Bethesda. I don't know. The guy and I talked. I talked with his guys. And he talked to me about meditation. Now, I'm going to be ugly. Take a breather. I have been a member of Victory Baptist Church in Beaufort, South Carolina, the pastor there, never memorized Scripture. I was a member of Trinity Baptist, the pastor there never memorized Scripture. Don't have to like me. The pastor of this church never memorized Scripture when I was here. Very little. By the way, you tell very quickly by what a person knows. It comes out of you. You know, if I'm around Sparky back here and I'm talking history, it is pretty quick. She knows more history than normal people because it comes out of her. I went to Bible college. The pastor there, Bible, you got to be kidding me. The Bible was useful. One guy talked to me about memorization. He says, why don't you come? We have a thing on Friday or Thursday night. I don't know what night it was. He says, we have a little time where we have a discussion. I didn't know the group. I'm going to speak factually. This is not critical. He said, come. And come on this night. I came. They had some food. That was okay, I guess. It wasn't lumpia that I didn't get this morning, by the way, Cliff. They had some food. They had a Bible study. I found out they were engaged in Navigators. I asked him an obvious question because either place I was, both places, I went to church. A local church. I've been a member of a local church my whole life. I just asked him, where do you guys go to church? And his answer was, we don't go to church. Well, then I knew I wasn't ever coming back, because I'm not going to a Bible study, a holy huddle where you huddle around and talk about the Bible, but you don't have a local church where you worship together, give together, serve. Now, anyhow, but I went one time. That man had a major impact in my life on one thing, folks, meditation, memorization. One man, one time. I never got it from school. Now, I know lots of people that memorize and do have done that. I never got it from the people I was around. He helped me. I say that in your notes. That's what I mean, friend. This man helped me and changed me. He was a man of the hour and a man for the hour. Now, I'm going to mention two names here intentionally. We have two men in here tonight that play this role in young people's life on the base. One nice, one not as nice. Well, he's pretty nice too. By the way, you guys know, you go down there, you preach, young people, chances are you're not going to see those guys again. And chances are, Jim, they're not going to know your name. But you can be the man of the hour for an hour to give them the gospel, to give them a kickstart, to get them into the scripture, prayer, whatever it is. By the way, there's nothing better than that. This isn't about ego. It's not notches in your gun. It's really ministry. That was Ananias. Well, my first concept, it's not mine, it's in the text. It says, Acts chapter 9, verse 10, there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, behold, I am here, Lord. You say, what do we find out about this guy? Well, first of all, he was, what's it say? He was available. Now, I'm not going to try to change anybody. Some of you are really going to find this sermon tonight a total waste of time, because you're going to find there's two groups of people I don't work with ever. You'll figure me out. You'll understand me. This is going to reveal Pastor Warren. I believe he was simply a man available. Much of our life comes down to that. I say in your notes, it either starts here or you do realize if you're not available for anything, God, what would God have to do to get you out of what you're doing? Man, I watch television 8 o'clock on Tuesday night. I watch my program. Okay. Well, then, you know, the Apostle Paul slide past you and other people do that job because, frankly, you're not available. I'll explain what I mean by some of that in a moment. Notice, are you all with me? By the way, I'm not looking for anything. Hey, I'm not looking for anything. We're talking about Ananias. When God spoke to him, he said, here am I. We find this is very common in the scripture. Genesis 22, came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, I'm not here, I'm tired, I got a headache, my back hurts, I got problems, haven't eaten, I need some sleep. You ever hear people talk? No, he said, here am I. Genesis 31:11, and the angel of God spake unto me in a dream, saying, Jacob, and I said, here am I. Exodus 3, verse 4, and when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses, and he said, here am I. That's simply being available. The most favorite probably in the Bible is the call of Samuel. And remember, Samuel's name means called of God, or it sounds like called of God, probably coming from this story. Verse 4 says, and when the Lord saw that he turned, wrong verse 4. And the Lord called unto Samuel, called Samuel, and he answered, here am I. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, here am I. He's thinking Eli's calling him. For thou didst call me, and Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, and by the way, no better advice in under planet Earth. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went, lay down in his place, and the Lord came and stood and called him as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant heareth. Isaiah, of course, the great text. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Everyone look at me. We do not have the largest organization on earth. By the way, you don't have to like what I'm saying. I don't care. We have to make decisions. By the way, you're not making the decisions. Two or three people make the decisions. And you know what your decision is usually this quick. Who can we get that will do it? Did you know that? That's what you ask. Who can we get that will do it? You're always thinking this way. This morning I had everything planned out because there was a lot of little missing pieces here. So and the only piece I missed is Mike Rock's fault. who always went to take care of the guys? Who always mopped the floor? Mike Isaac Randall. Isaac did it this morning. By the way, I forgot about the guys. Judy, I actually had Bambi. Her life went south. I called you because I need somebody to take the girls. And by the way, can I say this? Not philosophical. I don't need any BS. I don't need any conversation. I don't need anybody doing stuff like this. You just need it done. Period. Availability. Are you available? By the way, Judy was available, and she did it. Isaac, thank you for mopping. Thank you for what you did. Jim comes up, and by the way, Jim is he does the most humbling job when I do baptism. You know what he does. You and I are the only, well, your wife, but nobody else knows, do you? He comes up here to smoke. That's what he goes up in the back and smokes back up. He comes up because those stupid waiters are hard to get on. And he helps me put the waiters on and helps me pull them up and helps me put them on. I mean, I put them on, you know, and it's like, that's a humbling job. By the way, I appreciate it. If he's not here, that means I have to get somebody else to help me. Do you understand? If somebody would have told me this concept of just being available. Now, in your notes, let me make it practical. Example. Let's make this as generic as you can be. I need something done. Anything. Not something difficult. We're not talking about advanced math. We're not talking about chemistry. We're talking about anything done. This is what I ask. My first question is, who is available? Everybody hear me? Yes or no? My second question is, without a long rambling reason why they can't do it. Can I say this? You just don't have time for that. Oh, well, Pastor Warren, I could, but my dog's out and I think it's getting sick. And it's like, okay, thank you. By the way, so I'm looking for people who are, and by the way, I think God is the same. I don't think there's any difference. We're looking for someone who's available without a long rambling reason why you can't, or without an argument. And can I say this? There are some people I already know. No matter what you ask them, look at me. You get the chainsaw effect. It's like, okay, thank you. Thank you. God bless you. I don't want an argument. And this is what I prefer. But by the way, it's not about me. It's about the Lord. What if the Lord wants you to do something? Starting with a yes, or at least, let's make it where most of us live, at least a maybe. Now, there's people in this room that I cannot ask for anything. Everybody look at me. One of them is seated over here right by Dada. You know who she is. I can't ask her for anything. Do you all know why? Because she has a hard time saying what? That was just wrong, PDD. She says yes when she shouldn't, correct. But by the way, friend, sometimes you just need something done. You just need somebody picked up. You need this. And you don't have time for an hour conversation. So this is what you look for. You look for somebody that's available without a long rambling reason why they can't do it, without an argument, starting with a yes or at least a maybe. Can I say this? What this means is if you're a person, hey, do you know if you are? Look at me, everybody. No one ever taught me this. Duncan here, somewhere along the line, maybe it was your father. Because understand, my dad was a good man, but he was a blue-collar worker in a factory. My father was a grizzly bear. I think he started with a no. You understand? Have you ever noticed the people that get promoted in corporations are usually people that start with yes pretty quickly? Because the boss kind of likes people to say, you know what, we need to open that door. And the guy says, okay, I can do it. I mean, otherwise, you're always fighting this. First thing we find out about this guy that brought Paul further along was he was available. Now, that's not all we find out. I say number two, he was also skeptical. So this is not, you know, I'll get to that as we move forward. He was also skeptical. Verse 11, and the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street which is called Straight and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth, and all that was true. And he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. I mean, God had already prepared Paul. Paul's going to testify to this at the end. Then Ananias answered, said, Lord, that's nice, but, you know, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he had done. By the way, you do remember, hey, look at me. He had people killed. This is not a joke. This is not religion. You know, sometimes people say, you know, can I ask you a question? If I said next, make up a date, first Sunday in June of next year, could you? I have people start with no right then. They don't even know what's going on in June. It's no. He wasn't that kind of a person, but he was skeptical enough to think, wait a minute, Lord, this is a guy that's a persecutor of Christians. It's either in Acts 22 or 26. One of them, in Greek, it says something in effect is, I cast my pebble. I think the King James says, I gave my voice against this person for their death. Paul had people put to death. And then as I said, yeah, man, I don't know if I want to go there that quickly. That's a little much. Can I say this? I never mind this. If I come to you and say, could you? And you say, I had to get somebody, by the way, do you notice the flowers? Now, here were my options. Finding somebody that could do flowers or myself. Every time I come in here, I look at these flowers and I always think to myself, Judy, I could help you with color coordination a little better. It would be color something a little better anyhow. No, it's beautiful. By the way, she not only has a knack for it. I saw that there's several people that have a knack, but Judy has a love for this too. And I love it. Wow. Makes this gym look nice. Is that possible? But you can still be skeptical. In your notes, friends, I put this in here for only visual. Tom told me earlier he has seen these kinds of charts. Have you seen this kind of a chart? I've seen this kind of a chart in 15 different settings. Look at me, friends. I'm not in the business world, but it came from the business world. I've seen it in academics. I have seen it in cultural shifts. They use this same concept in what starts a cultural thing moving. They have a name for the innovator. They call it something else. But it's basically a curve of how people react to things. Now, this comes out of the business world, obviously. This is called the product adoption curve. You have innovators. You have early adopters. Otherwise, you're starting a business model in both on both sides, on both selling it and on the side of the people doing the business. You have people that adopt pretty early. You have people that don't adopt as early, but they're the early majority. You have the late majority, and then you have the laggards. Now, you can turn the page if you would. You say, Pastor Warren, what is your takeaway? I say in your notes, I have seen, and this is simply Ananias. Ananias is like, Ananias, look at me, friends, is not one of those people saying, yes, Pastor, do you realize I had a person came to this church in 1996 and 97 that said we should move the church west? Does anybody have any idea why? What? He wants us to get out of this area and get into a white area. Do you not know that? By the way, where's he at? Well, he hadn't been in this church since about 1998. But see, you're missing, you still haven't caught my point on this. These are the innovators. They come in here, Pastor, we need to do X, Y, and Z. 15 minutes later, they've moved on. Who helps? In your notes. I have seen this model of this or adaptation of this to ministry. I only know and use this for the extremes. So if you want to understand Pastor Warren, here's the two things. There's the two facts I live by without even thinking about it. I think in the extremes, the innovators and the laggards. I say, first of all, I don't trust the first group. Anybody that's got 5,000 good ideas. Do you know what you find out? Look at me, everybody. The person that has 5,000 good ideas, look at me. They don't support the church. Hello? Pastor Warren, we need to build a new building. Yes, we do need to build a new building. You got some money? Well, I'm not talking about my money. The first group, I don't trust at all. in a church setting. Now, that we wouldn't call them innovators, but they're the people that come in here. We need to do this. We need to do that. We need to do all of these things. They're going to fix all of our problems. No, thank you. God bless you. I love you. I won't see you very long, though. Now, on the back group, now don't get mad. It's just a fact. The last group, the laggards in a church setting, I don't bother with that group. Because they're the group that's going to say no, no matter what you do. Can I ask you a question? Do you know if you're one of those people? When I came here, and it's still here to some degree because it's people. Can I ask you a question? Do you, when I ask you anything, if I said, folks, around New Year's time, which I think we will, we're going to go out and have some fish at the fish boil. What's your immediate response? Let's go tonight. Forget then. Atong is the one that brought all, he's the one that started it all. Atong, right over there. By the way, friend, do you know there's people? I still remember I dragged a person out, not dragged, literally. They finally went to fish boil. By the way, it's fish. It's white fish. They have chicken. They have ribs. And the person said, I didn't try the fish. Because they started with, no. And they're not going, no. I am not going to be happy no matter what. Oh, okay. Other than I remember asking, well, how was the chicken and the ribs? Well, I didn't like the barbecue. What? How about look at me? How about do this? Get a life. Some other place. Thank you. You say, you're being mean. I'm telling you, I don't trust the first group because they're the people that come to me. I can name them. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. But when it comes to how much money are you putting in? None. And then the other group, you can't change them. Now, I want to ask you a question. Do you know yourself? If I ask anything, where do you start on the spectrum? Are you a person that can get to yes pretty quick? Are you in the middle? By the way, I'd be more in the middle. I can get to yes. Are you the person that can never get to yes because I was born with the word no in my mouth and I'm going to hold on to it till Jesus comes? No. Okay. Now, I want to be clear. Skepticism, I say in your notes, isn't all bad. Skepticism is this, and by the way, here is a very important distinction. It wants as much information as possible, but it doesn't want all of the information. Because if you have to know every piece of information, every possible thing that can go wrong, everything, you're never going to do anything. Are you with me? By the way, do you know yourself? Now, this is not about me. Can I tell you who this is about? This is about you and the Lord. So if the Apostle Paul showed up, Lord, I'll go talk to Paul. But I got to know for sure that I'm not going to get harmed. I mean, after a point, you're not going to go talk to Paul. You're going to stay at home in your easy chair, ensconced in your little cookies and cream and your coffee and your chocolate milk at night. Come on. It's not going to work. So skepticism isn't all bad. Skepticism wants as much information as possible. And by the way, anytime we're going to do a big project or anything, you want to get, you know, as much information as you can, of course, but not all the information, which is impossible on earth. And all the repercussions and all the permutations, you can't do that. It doesn't want to rush in blindly. I think that's very legitimate. Especially if it's a big thing. Now, if it's going to either McDonald's or Burger King, they're both bad. It makes no difference. You just go. I say this. Here's skepticism. It isn't all bad. It wants as much information as possible. Not all information. It doesn't want to rush in blindly, and it will move forward. That's Ananias. So when I see this man Ananias, this is what I see. I see a man that was available. He had an element of skepticism, but his skepticism wasn't wrong. Paul had a reputation for killing people. He came to Damascus to kill people. Asking questions might not be unwise. Can I say this? Men can rush into places, especially if a woman's not involved. Sometimes a woman will say, yeah, maybe that's not a good idea. And sometimes men need to listen. Sometimes. Number three, I would say that Ananias was quite reasonable. Now, before I go any further, I said I'm going to mention two guys. Only my wife knows. You might have known Bill. I work with two people, one in the Navy. Bill Lewandowski was an E6 when I came here in the laboratory. He ended up retiring as an E9. He was the best chief I ever worked with, and he modeled everything I'm reading tonight. He was a forward-looking guy, a moving guy. If a new idea came into the lab, like, by the way, laboratories went from writing everything down. Can you imagine hundreds of thousands of numbers? We went from that to computers. You had people dying of heart attacks. I don't want a computer. Bill could lead. But he wasn't a guy that was running like a rabbit all over the place. The other guy, Jenny, was Jay Wagner. Always a person that I appreciated working with, a person that was very, you know, available. He had enough let's look at this, let's think about this, let's ask questions. But he didn't have to know world history in order to make a decision. Ananias was also reasonable. What's reasonable mean? When God spoke to him and reasoned with him, Ananias could get that. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, Ananias. Why, he's a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Friends, being reasonable is a fundamental. It's one of the things you look at in any kind of a leadership role. James says this, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, because of what God has done, he saved us, made us the first fruits of his creation. My beloved brother, let every man be what? Swift to hear. Now, this specifically is talking about scripture. But if we could just do this, look, step away from that just an inch. Scripture is still there. But just think, I'm a person that people can reason with. Can I say this? Every job you ever have, if you're a reasonable person, people will like working with you. If you're an unreasonable person, they won't. Hear me. I've already said, Jay Wagner, Bill Lewandowski modeled that for me. It took me a long time to realize that. Have you ever been around somebody that's unreasonable? You can't reason with them about anything. What happens to them after a while? You start excluding them, pushing them to the side, not involving them in decisions because you can't deal with them. You don't want to deal with that. James 3:17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated. Otherwise, all right, so you don't like this new idea that the boss has or the company has or the church has. But you're at least a person they can come and talk to. And, you know, you can be easily entreated. Explain to me, tell me, show me, help me. On the other side, there was a guy is this his real name? I guess. His real name was Nabal or Nabal. And Nabal is the Hebrew word for fool. It says in 1 Samuel 25:17, now therefore no one consider what thou wilt do. For evil is determined against our master and against all his house. Why? For he is such a son of Belial. That's literal Hebrew. He is such a worthless individual that a man cannot speak to him. Wow. Can I say this? I want to surround myself with people who can be reasoned with, and I want to be one of those. Now I'm going to talk about myself, not all of it good. This is what I know about myself. On the left to right, I have never been perfect. I'm pretty sure that's true of me. Is that true of you? Secondly, I can be strong-headed or bull-headed. Can I have an amen? By the way, you could not be a leader without some kind of a certain amount of bullheadedness. You can't be a leader and go, what do you think? You'll shoot yourself. You'll kill yourself. You'll commit suicide. But I know that about myself, but I think these other things are true. I think. Am I emotional? By the way, emotions, have you ever watched people make decisions? Some people cry, some people, I'm not that kind of thing, but I can get emotional, but I'm more emotional than Tim is. The only emotions that I've ever got out of Tim in making decisions is him getting mad at me for being emotional. That's the only, I get real passionate and he's like, calm down. I get it. That's who I am. So I've never been perfect. I can be strong-headed or a bullhead. Emotional, I am more than Pastor Kroc. But I promise you this, but I am open to truth, ideas, and information. And that's what it means to be reasonable. Just like Ananias, somebody needed to go take Paul on his first major step. Who's going to do it? The person that's available, even though he's skeptical, because he can be reasoned with. And Ananias was reasoned with, and Ananias, well, we'll see who he ends up going. So I am capable of reason, I think. I am open to truth, ideas, and information. Oh, I haven't mentioned I'm capable of reasoning. I'm able to slow down. That's one thing I've had to learn, to slow down. Because I can get out of the box really quickly. And I think I am persuadable at times. I have been known to change my mind when I'm wrong. Now, it only happened twice in the last 100 years, but it does happen. All right, number four. Ananias was certainly amendable. If you don't know the word amendable, right under the verses, write these words. Capable of being changed, corrected, improved. Are you capable of being changed, corrected, or improved if you have done something wrong? Now, obviously, we're not all 100% there, but he was. I think that's what makes him the man of the hour. He was somebody that was able to be amendable to the Lord's will, even though it's like, I don't know about that, Lord. Acts chapter 9, verse 17. And Ananias went his way. He entered into the house, putting his hand on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. I mean, once he got it, he said, okay, Lord, I stand corrected. He went, he entered, put his hands on Paul, he spoke to Paul, and he was the guy that moved Paul forward. A person that's amendable. Maybe you were wrong one time. That would be shocking. Lastly, When I pastored in St. Louis, one of the best men in our church got fired from his job. Are you listening? A very big job. At the time, I wondered what the problem was. I had another white-collar guy, very high-level guy, came and said, I can tell you exactly the problems. You know the problems we're having in every single deacon's meeting? Which was? Could never get along with anybody, couldn't reason with anybody, always... That kind of stuff always, by the way, started with a no with everything. It's not a big surprise to me when his wife left me. By the way, in many marriages, one person is the person whose middle name is no. They don't know that might be a problem in a marriage because a marriage is usually not about right and wrong. Marriage is usually about trying to figure out a solution. Not I'm the one right, you're the one wrong. That's what little children do. Well, number five, we conclude. Ananias was ultimately commendable. Now, friends, we're going to read this quickly and be done. This is so beautiful because we're no longer talking about the event. We're talking about the Apostle Paul giving his testimony. You got me, everybody? This is Paul talking now. Chapter 22, verse 10. Paul's giving his testimony. He says, what shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said, arise, go into Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do. And when I could not see for the glory of the light, being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came to Damascus. And then guess what? One Ananias. Get what Paul says. His name was Ananias. He was a devout man according to the law, which tells you what, everybody? He's Jewish. He was a Jewish believer. You didn't have that little piece of information in Acts chapter 9. A devout according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. And the same hour I looked up upon him and he said, the God of our fathers. What a statement. The God of our fathers hath chosen thee, Paul, Saul, that thou shouldest know his will and see the just one and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. And of course, he follows through with baptism, etc. Everyone look at me and we're done. Is this a simple story? Let me ask, is this a simple story? Look, look. By the way, I deal with this every day in the school. And sometimes there's people that I know I can't overburden. That's one of the problems. You don't want to overburden. Pachung guy over here cannot say, what was that word you can't say? You can't say yes. Oh, prevaricating Pachung guy. But listen, friend, here's a man that was available. Yeah, he's skeptical. He's not one of these guys that rah, rah. He's one of these guys that wants to serve the Lord. He's also reasonable. So when the Lord explained, he was then amendable. Okay, I'll do what you asked me to do. I'm just going to trust you. You know, it isn't going to change the world. I'm going to go to this guy's house. I'm going to knock on the door. I'm going to see if Paul's there. If Paul's there, I'm going to tell him what you said to tell him. And he did it. And he was the man, listen, of the hour. For that hour, we know nothing else about him except later on in Paul's life, guess what he's saying? There was a guy by the name of, I think I want to be a guy like this. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Bless our time together. Thank you for this precious text. This helps us in every place we are, in marriage, children, church, family, work. My goodness, we now in a country, it seems like where people are just filled with rage and hate. And nobody has the interest of our country or the just common good in mind, except to prove a point or to win their point. Help us to be people that manifest the grace and goodness of God like our brother Ananias, who is the man of the hour, for the hour. What else did he do in his life? We do not know. But I know one thing. He was one of those guys at the right time, had unbelievable long-term impact. Thank you for him. In Jesus' name, amen.